get me some water? the 20-year-old at night. Hallelujah, the two girls are all in the house. Hallelujah, and mother been a hold it to my back to them. And it's with a shadow of doubt that God has not left us. Hallelujah. How many answers, Pastor? Hallelujah, Jesus. But I thank God that He gave us the word to be preachers. And we're not so grateful.
Plan to be through tonight by 8 o'clock. Amen. Want to be through by 8 o'clock I want to thank God for my precious wife and my daughter, our praise and worship team. Amen. We thank God for them. Thank God for my son, Omar Jr. on the keyboard. Omar the third, man, was on the little bell a little while ago. Mari is working the YouTube and the Facebook. Man, she's recording. Thank God for Sister Asia. Man, she's here. She's our YouTube recorder. Man, our YouTube videographer. I think that's what might be what it's called. But we thank God for her. She just fits right in here with our family. Amen. So let's go real quick. I don't want to prolong the time. I see you, Elder Geithen. God bless you. Got a couple of our elders in tonight, Elder Geithen and Elder Oliver. Amen. I saw them. Thank y'all so much for being a part. I think I've seen one of our deacons, Deacon Flynn Toyo Berger. Yes. Glad to see you, amen, on tonight. Amen. Let's go to the book of Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 7. Amen. Genesis, the third chapter, shouldn't take you too long to get there. It shouldn't be too hard to find. It's the first book in the Bible. First book, amen. Nowadays, folks don't even, for the most part, don't even carry their Bibles like we used to do. We got it on our phones. Amen. And I'm not mad at that. Amen. But sometimes you want to have the book. Amen. Sometimes it just feels better to have the book. One blogger said, you know, he's paper Bible saved, and he was talking about these phones. Some of us do all kind of things on these phones, and then want to use the phone for the word of God also. And he's telling the truth, amen. We do all kind of things. We gossip, we tell lies, amen. Some of us watch stuff we ain't got no business watching and participating in stuff. We ain't got no business participating in, amen. And then with the same device, we want to go to the word of God, and we want to hear what thus said the Lord, amen. So I agree with that, guys. Paper Bible saved, amen. Ain't nothing like having the book sometimes, amen. Ain't nothing, it's just out of tradition, amen. Ain't nothing like having the book, amen. But suppose you that. You don't have the Bible, but you got it on your phone. Amen. It works just as well. All right, so y'all remember on Sunday morning, we came from Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 6, and we spoke from the subject, looking through someone else's eyes. My wife threatened me before we got down here and said, boy, I hope you ain't doing that again. She's been picking with me over the last couple of days, amen, about my glasses on Sunday. Amen. But I told her I had to bring them out again because I'm going to be teaching and preaching tonight. Amen. Pretty much from the same thing. This is part two. Part two. Amen. So some of you remember we talked about looking through someone else's eyes. Okay. Looking through someone else's eyes. We came through from Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 6. Tonight we want to pick up Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 7. Okay. Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 7. You got to be careful when you're looking through someone else's eyes. When you're looking through someone else's eyes, you can't control what you're going to see. You see, these glasses I got on, these shades I got on, they are very popular shades, pair of shades. They're not Ray-Bans, and they're not Gucci, none of that. They are what I like to call Dollar Tree specials. For the most part, most of my glasses come from Dollar Tree. For the simple fact, I lose them and break them quite often. So I just go to the Dollar Tree and I shop. I have a shopping spree at the Dollar Tree. Amen. I can get as many pair of glasses as I want for a dollar. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk. As we explained on Sunday, with these glasses, they are shades supposed to help protect your eyes from the sun. Amen. We will look kind of crazy walking around out in the heat of the day when the sun is at its brightest like this. Can you come out better just not wearing no glasses at all than to be wearing one that has shades? I can't get no help here, and one that don't. Yeah, even though I got these from the Dollar Tree, if they sold them like this, I would want half price. So instead of it being the Dollar Tree, it should be the 50 cent store. Because this does not benefit me. It may benefit one side, but there's another side. And this is this other side that we have to be careful with. This other side can seemingly be okay, but there's damage that will continue to go on as long as you're out in the sun, amen, and looking directly in the sun with this eye. You go to the doctor, you go to the optometrist, or whatever they call, and they'll tell you, you may not even have 20/20 no more. One eye could be good, one eye could be, amen, you can look from a distance, you can look up close, but that other eye, amen, that other eye can be blurry and can be dim, and things could be going on in that other eye because, you haven't properly took care of it. Y'all are going to help me tonight. You haven't properly monitored what your eyes have been taking in. You never want to just kind of look, we're looking at things. And, a lot of us, we're controlled by what we see. We could be having a good day. We could be having a good day, but then we see something. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I see you, Elder Blue Red. God bless you. We could see something on YouTube. We could see something on our Facebook. We can see something on the news that can be full of, that can rattle our day, all because of what we saw, all because of what we see. Just remember, if you got somebody that's gonna say, be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you're looking at. So when we came from Genesis, the third chapter, verse 6, and I think we went through verses 1 through 6, and we talked about from the subject looking through someone else's eyes. Tonight we're going to look at verse 7. Same book, Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 7. On the count of three, I want you to read that with me. Genesis, the third chapter, we're going to go to the next verse and take our topic, which is similar to Sunday morning's topic. Okay, so on the count of three, let's read, amen. I'm hoping I can read with my glasses like this. Amen. Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 7. Amen. On the count of three, read it with me. 1, 3. And the eyes of their both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Okay. So here we are, and the eyes of them both, okay, the eyes of them both were open. We understand that they could already see, right? They were not blind. Y'all know what happened tonight. They were not naturally blind. They could see. They saw the tree. They saw what was around them. They saw the enemy, the serpent. They saw each other. So why is it that here in verse 7, after everything that took place, verses 1 through 6, we pick up in verse 7, and the first few words in verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open. Yes, the eyes of them both. What took place that caused their eyes? Something had, a part of them had to be blinded by something. Something had to take place that caused them to be able to see something that they had not seen before. I'm talking plainly tonight. Something happened. And a lot of us, we can look back at our lives and we can pinpoint something that we were introduced to that changed our vision. Something that we were introduced to, somebody that we were introduced to, some perversion that we were introduced to that changed the way we view life. And so that person now, amen, some of us have struggled all because of what we allow our eyes to see. Lord, Lord, I feel like I have to do part three on Sunday morning. Amen. Once again, look at somebody and say, be careful what you're looking at. So the eyes of them both were open. So tonight's subject is, this is part two. Look at the name and say, neighbor. Tonight's subject is the consequence right up his eyes. The consequences. The consequences. Somebody said, got me do part three. Every blue said, we got to do part two. Amen. They want me to stay right here. I can stay right here. Amen. So we dealt with looking. Okay, that was one aspect. Now, tonight, we want to deal for 30 minutes, and I'll be through by 8 tonight. Amen. We want to deal with the consequences of looking through someone else's eyes. The consequences of allowing someone else to have that type of power over you. The power, they have the power to change the way you view things. They have the power over you to change the way you view life, and more specific, the way you view somebody else. And even more important, the way you view God. Who have you allowed to come into your life that changed your vision on what you thought and what the way you used to look at God? Somebody under the sound of my voice, somebody watching me, at one time you had a close walk with the Lord. But somewhere along the life's journey, your eyes, you've lost focus. And you put your eyes off God and off Christ and place your eyes on somebody else. And because you made that decision, now you have to pay the consequences of looking through someone else's eyes. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So what you saying, Brother Omar? Now you got a husband and wife that was used to just being willy-nilly and being just as free. Now they're beginning to cover themselves. See, we got the pause right there, because what sin does is it makes us cover. We want to cover ourselves. We want to hide. Y'all ain't going to talk to me tonight. Man loves darkness rather than light. Why? Because his deeds are evil. So they open their eyes. Both of their eyes open, and they knew that they were naked. I told you something had to happen. They've been together. They was in the garden playing tag and chasing each other. But now, something has changed about their vision. There are consequences for their actions. Now they know that they are naked. Anytime you have a husband, amen. Lord, let me just say this, kind of try to say this the right way. Amen. There's no reason why, amen, my wife can't see, Lord, amen, why I'm always dressed. Right. As if I'm trying to hide something. All right, thank you, Sister Tanisha. Peeping and hiding. We peeping and hiding. Why are you covering up? Why are you going to bed fully dressed? You go in the bathroom and take the shower. You take all your clothes in the shower. And your husband and your wife and their wonder, why you doing all that? Normally you would come out the shower. I mean, that's your husband, that's your wife. You know, you comfortable with each other. But now you're trying to hide stuff. You take your whole outfit, you take your hair, and then you take, amen, your socks, your shoes, you take everything. So by the time you come out, you look like a brand new creature. Sin causes us to hide. Sin causes us to be ashamed. Something happened between a husband and wife that now they are ashamed of themselves because of what looking through the eyes of someone else has now brought, watch this, has now brought a division between the family. Husband, you got to be careful. Wife, you got to be careful, amen, of looking through somebody else's eye.
Because if you meditate and stay focused on what somebody else is doing, you can miss what's going on right in front of you. Now, when God had placed you in each other's lives to comfort, to love, and to cherish one another, because you've lost focus and you're now looking through someone else's vision, lack happens in the home. Now, that wife is wondering why you don't ever come home. And when you get here, you just tired. You ain't got no time for nobody. Or that husband is wondering why you don't come home no more. Something has changed. Something has affected the union, the family. And what the devil wants to do, listen, y'all, the devil don't care nothing about no building. Forget about that. I'm trying to help y'all graduate from the church being the building. The church is in you. The devil don't care nothing about no building. He wants to get you. Lord, help me tonight. The devil wants you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy the relationship between the man and the woman. He wants to destroy the relationship between the parents and the children by allowing other things to take our focus, allowing other things to ruin our vision and cause obstruction. Remember I told y'all Sunday about the right with the passenger side mirror. There's a notice on there, optics may be closer than what they actually appear to be. The enemy wants to, amen, and I told you on Sunday, he wants to bring an illusion and bring mirages to make us think something is there when it's not. Amen. Lord, help me teach tonight. Eyes of them both are open. Okay? There has to be consequences for all parties. If you play a part, that's just like me and my wife here in our home. When we come home and the house ain't right or somebody didn't do what we told them to do, we going to deal with them. And if whoever else, if one of the other children, or everybody except ice pick, everybody else can get the two chops and a elbow. Because they know them. And we ain't going to deal with ice pick the way we deal with them. We're not going to deal with macho the way we deal with Zach. We're going to deal with Pamela the way we deal with Amaria. God bless you, Pastor Thomas. Glad to see you all tonight. So we got to be mouth. Keep your vision clear. Keep folk out of your life that you know don't lead to no good. What you say, Brother Omar? Folk that you know ain't going nowhere, stop going with them. Tell them to stop inviting you. You know people ain't trying to do nothing. They ain't trying to have nothing in life. Amen. They ain't. And all you married folks, stop hanging with single folks all the time. Never seen a day with so many married folks die. You getting advice from a married man? Getting advice from a single man? Bro, find somebody that you can trust and believe that their marriage is strong.
Right.
And you can talk to them and they give you godly advice. Not somebody don't beg you to leave your family. When you need another woman, amen, don't tell you, girl, I wouldn't put up with it. That's why she ain't got nobody now, because she won't put up with it. That's why she by herself. Don't let her lie to you all this. I just choose to be. No! You just keep running everybody off. Be careful. Be careful. People that know they ain't going nowhere, they want to surround themselves with folks that they can help go nowhere. Let me say it again. People that know they ain't going nowhere wants company. Your mother told you misery loves company. That people that know they ain't going nowhere, they want to surround themselves with folk that they can help go nowhere. Y'all don't like this tonight, but I got to tell you. Those are the people that are looking like this. What's wrong with them? One day they can see clear, they can see good, they're protected. But the next day they're vulnerable, they're open to whatever the world has for them. You don't know what to take. You don't know what, you just don't know how to take them sometimes. You ever have a friend you call, one day they up and they good and they cheerful, and you call them an hour later and it seems like all hell done broke loose and they got a pattern of doing this all the time? Listen, if I find folks like that, you ain't got to worry about me calling you. You ain't got to worry about it. And when you call me, you ain't got to worry about me answering. Leave a message. And depending on what your message says, when the table wasn't out, I want to call you back. Listen, somebody say, anybody got time for that? And they heard that, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Look at what sin does. It makes us do things that are impossible to do. Sin will have us looking crazy and doing crazy things, acting crazy. Amen. Just crazy.
Yes.
What do you mean, Brother Omar? And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. How are you going to play hide and go seek from God? I know we think just because it's dark when we're doing our mess, and we think sometimes it's just me and him or him and her, don't nobody else know. And we think we can get away. You may get away, but you ain't gonna die. Or you may get by, but you ain't gonna get away. In other words, eventually you're gonna have to pay for the stuff you've done. There's a payment plan. There's a pay, you got to pay. So here we see where they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. Adam hid himself, amen. So Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. You can't hide from God. You can't hide. But when you're dealing with the consequences of looking through someone else's eyes, you're dealing with this part now. This part is camouflage. This part is fake. This part makes you think you can get by, but you can't. Well, here they are hiding in the trees. The husband and the wife. Oh, you're talking about Bunny and Clyde. But we're going to see how even Bunny and Clyde separates in a minute. Because sin brings a separation. Lord, help me tonight. Sin brings a separation. Sin will cause you to blame the other person and not take responsibility for your actions. How many of us have done that? Let's raise your hand. Have done things that we blamed it on somebody else. We blamed it on somebody else. It's his fault. It's her fault. I did it because she did this. I did it because he did that. If he hadn't did this, I would have did that. Look at somebody and say, you your daddy's son. You your daddy's daughter. Because it happened right here. We're going to see in a minute. Listen, this is just a little quick Sunday school Bible study lesson for you. Sin brings division. Even though it looked like you're grouped together, it looks like you in it together, but eventually it's going to divide. And when sin likes to divide and conquer, that's what the enemy does. He comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Okay, so he wants to make you think you're okay. See, all this dealt with him having Eve been comfortable with him. The enemy is a smooth operator. The Bible says he's more subtle. He was more tricky. He was more crafty. He was more cunning. You got to be careful who you have conversations with. Oh, I got it. You got to be careful who you talk to. Because who you talk to has you, amen, have you going against your God. Who you talk to, if you listen to him long enough, can have you betray your family, can have you betray your church, can have you betray your community. You'll betray your spouse. You'll betray your kids. All over conversation with an enemy. Since their vision is already a scourge, they deal with this one already. They're going to get as many as they can and give them the same type of gas. They say, hey, just look out of that eye. Remember, Adam and Eve could see that there was another sight in verse 7 that was introduced to them. Ooh, Lord, help me tonight. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Listen, beloved, there is an order. God has an order. Things are not just haphazard. No, God has an order. Adam knew God gave Adam the first word. Eve knew also, because we see what Eve reported back to the enemy, to the devil, what God said. But because man is the head, Lord help me tonight, and that God ain't going to jump to the bottom and try to come to the top. No. God deals with the top and then goes to the bottom. See, Lumber, we try to deal with folk that really ain't got no authority. You need to go to the one that's got the authority. You ever seen, amen, a lot of these shows and YouTube, these videos and stuff where somebody been called cheating. Or the movie, the show that came on years ago, Cheaters. Why is it that even on Cheaters, when whoever catches that spouse or boyfriend or whatever cheating, they want to jump on the other person? They don't want to deal with the one that cheated on them. That man wants to jump on the other man. Nowadays, amen, you know, we got men. We got women. You just don't know it. But you know, it's supposed to, amen, it's supposed to be man and woman. The man walks home and comes to the house and finds his girlfriend and his wife, amen, with another man. And instead of him hanging up, dealing with his woman, he wants to jump on the other man. But your contract and your agreement is not with that person.
Yes, right.
You should deal with the one at the top, the one that you have an agreement or a covenant with. Lord, help me tonight. You got 10 more minutes. Amen. Stop going to the other, to the side piece you want to deal. Deal with who actually, amen, has caused the issue. You see what God does? He goes right to Adam. You the head? I made you first. I brought Eve out of you. Let me deal with you first. Stop asking God to deal with other folks and ask God to deal with you. Deal with me, God. I want that. I ain't praying for you to deal with other folks. I need you to get me right. So here you say, get me right. In the moving light, that was a... Amen. That was a young man, that was a good baseball player, but he was in the same prison. They named him Can't Get Right. But we need to see, we need to say, God, get me right. Alright? So God deals with Adam. He has a conversation and tell him, where you at? I'm asking every man that's listening and watching me tonight, where you at? A lot of our families have been destroyed because the man has been tricked. And God is saying, where you at? Preacher, where you at? Pastor, bishop, amen, apostle, where you at? Why are you so great in the trap, amen, but they can't stand you in your own home? Where you at? You're a great pastor. You're a great preacher. You're a great singer. You're a great musician. But when we get home, your wife can't stand you. When you get home, your children don't like you. Where you at?
They don't like this type of preaching. I ain't trying to get me an offense tonight, but I got to tell you, it's all right. I got to tell you anyway.
Where you at? You good in the community. You organizing, folks. Amen. All over your community love you. But when you get home, you're a stranger. Where you at? Adam! Omar! You! Where you at? Your church ministry is at home. While you striving to be on the next big conference. While you striving to be at the next big convocation. Strive to be a great husband. Lord, I can't get no rest here tonight. Strive to be a great father. While all the, amen. No, I know I got to do part three. I already feel it. Amen. While all the other kids in the church call you daddy and papa. That's my spiritual pappy. But your own children can't call you daddy. They don't know who you are. You ain't that. You ain't nowhere around. And it's time out. We got so much time for the church, but we don't have no time for our own families. Lord, help me tonight. Amen. I really believe in my heart. I believe this in my heart. I'm not saying God sent corona, but I am saying God allowed it to come. So many families, so many heads of the family losing vision, taking on another vision, seeing something else. So many pastors, bishops, wearing chains and wearing rings. I ain't against all that. I like this ring. I got a little chain too. I ain't against all that. Even when I have that on or off, I feel who I am. And that's I'm thriving to be a great husband. On my dying day, y'all heard me, those of you that members of praise, y'all heard me say this down through the years, I'm going to keep saying it. It'll be good. You can thank God if y'all acknowledge me as a good pastor. I'd be a dummy to sit here and think everybody thinks I'm a good pastor because I already know that ain't the truth. I know by the way some folks act. You ain't got to say you love me. Just don't eat. I see the way you act. I see the way you treat me. You speaking enough. And it'll be good. I serve as a chaplain for our high school football team. I'm all in the community. And it'll be great for them to say, man, brother, Pastor Omar was a great pastor. He was a great chaplain. We can always count on him on Friday nights to be at the football game. We can always count on him to be in prayer, to lead us in prayer, give us an encouraging word. We got a family good name in this community. Everybody going to speak well of it, but for the most part, we got our church and myself. I got ain't men out on me. Right. And all these folks stand up and come, amen, at my funeral and say all this, that would be pretty good. But who can really tell the story of my character? The ones that live with me. So y'all got it wrong. You think it's the church. No. You really want to know what kind of person your leader is, male or female? Ask their children. And if they're married, ask their spouse. Oh, yeah, y'all don't like this. Y'all go, I can't get no help right here. Amen. That's all right. That's why your marriage is messed up. That's why your children are the worst children. Amen. That's the reason why, for the most part, pastors' kids get the worst rap. Preacher's kids. I'm a preacher's kid. I married a preacher's daughter, a preacher's kid. And most preacher's kids that we know don't even like going to church no more. No less, they might love God, but they don't like the church. And possibly the reason is because of what they see in their parents. They see their mama and their daddy all holy and sanctified on Sunday morning. Shouting and dancing, and speaking in tongues. But go home and not speak to each other. They seen their daddies lay hands on folks and their mama lay hands. Amen. Seen mom and dad teach and preach. Amen. Marital seminars. And at the same time, your children look at y'all like y'all are roommates.
No, I didn't know I was going here tonight, but since I'm here, I might as well stay.
You in one room, she in another. And when your daughters and sons get married, they think the same thing. So you supposed to have your own room. So that's all. They don't never see no love between mom and daddy.
My children, no, you got to do it. That's mine. You got to do it. I talk about my house. My children, all day, y'all nasty, ew. Me and my wife said, how you think you got here? Ew. Stop touching her, daddy. Y'all stop kissing. And they'll tell us to get a room. All these are me and my wife's room. We said, y'all to get a room. We all we can do, we want to do in any room in this house. We pay the cost to be the boss in here. Looking through someone else's eyes has affected the family. It affected Adam and Eve. It affected them to the point they blamed somebody else. Adam blames Eve, and Eve blames the serpent. Yeah. Nobody takes responsibility for the fall of the family. When you're doing this, when you got on these tight visions, daddy ain't gonna take responsibility. He saw his daddy do what he did. I tell you what, if that's an excuse, it'll do it. Be quiet. I know the Bible says, rebuke not an elder. Don't be calling us nasty. Be quiet, Elder Blue. Daddy, because he won't take responsibility. You won't take responsibility of being that head, being the one that directs the family. Since he's wearing glasses like this, you don't know whether he's going or coming. You don't know where to take daddy. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. Your daddy say, well, I'll be there to pick up the children, and he don't see, I can tell the story. I could have used the excuse that a lot of other men use when my daddy wasn't there. I had nobody to show me. This is just the way I thought. I thought it was right to beat on my woman because I saw my daddy do it. I saw my uncles do it. I could have took that highway to say, listen. We are still finding, this is just my family, my immediate, amen, or my daddy's side. We are still, even now, finding siblings that are Zachary's. Because some kind of way, our daddy was looking out of both sides. Shan thought she had to put something together just the other day, and I said, no, I'm saying, the math don't work on that. There's got to be another child. And my biological dad has been dead for years, but we still find this sibling. Wow. So I could have said, well, that's what my daddy did. I know what it's like being on the porch because he said he's coming. My mama get us ready. And we on the porch excited because we think daddy's on the way. We're still waiting. 30 years later, 35 years later, still waiting on that porch. Still waiting. With anticipation, with excitement, because our daddy is on the way. We didn't know at the time that daddy was looking through both sides. He had someone else's vision. Uncle just tried to explain and tried to
make it right and make it better. But you can't. You can't make that right or that better, because that's a child that looks to his father to tell him and show him or her who they are. Daddy shows the word. Daddy brings the protection, brings the provision. I've never had an 18-year-old daughter. I got one now. And with an 18-year-old daughter, I'm teaching her from a man's standpoint, from the daddy, teaching her responsibilities along with my wife. But there are certain things that I got to give to her while I still got time. Because I don't want her to look back and say, well, my daddy, he was a great pastor. He could preach. He could shake the mic. He would climb on a pew. But at home, he was looking different. We didn't know what to take. So teaching her responsibilities. Me and my wife, first time around with a grown child now. So we'll have a little more practice by the time Zach reaches this age in 3 years. And then Pamela in 6 years. Macho in 9 years. Ice Pick, Lord Jesus, 16 years. So we don't want to be looking. I'm through. Part three, Elder Bluett, Sunday morning. The consequences. I'm through. I said 8 o'clock. The consequences of looking through the eyes of someone else. If I look through the eyes of my father, I honor him because he planted the seed in my mother. My mother brought me forth. But I choose to look clear. I choose to do different and make excuses to be there for my wife. I'm going to be there for my children. They will know that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no one else more important to me than them. Not the church. That's another problem. It's bad when your wife, your children feel that they come second to your church. Lord, I got to get through. I'm through. All right, I'm through. I'm through. It's a shame. Not supposed to say, don't tell y'all that, but I'm going to tell you. Because when you're dead and gone, them church folk, they don't find another pastor. Some of you probably trying to vote you out now as pastor.
Right.
But your wife and children, or your husband and your children, whatever capacity of leadership you serve, your family is going to be the one that suffers the most. And then have to put up with the church folk, amen, running you down and talking about you and lying on you and saying all kinds of stuff. Now your family is left there. So if you build your house the right way, if you look clearly, stop looking through the eyes of someone else. God bless you tonight. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God, not like you were really in church. Amen. Right with you all. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Consequences. We'll deal with this on Sunday morning. We'll deal with it some more. I got some more verses. Elder Bluett might be a true prophet. I might have to do a part four. But we'll hear part three Sunday morning. Listen, take off those glasses that's got you seeing double. A custom pair of glasses, as I showed y'all on Sunday morning, I brought my wife up and I brought my Pamela up. As much as I love them, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, their glasses didn't work for me. Their vision didn't work for me. I have to use my vision. So I refuse to take on someone else's vision. I refuse to look through someone else's eyes. Just because you and her don't get along, that don't mean me and her can't get along. Just because you don't like him, that doesn't mean I can't like him. That's your vision. That's you. I choose to have my own vision. I choose to. That way I can see clearly. Because what was custom for you, when you went to the doctor, what they prescribe for you doesn't work for me. Stop thinking, amen, that what others got works for you. What happens in others' marriages gonna work in your marriage. It ain't gonna happen. Nothing wrong with talking to folk and giving folk advice, and you just find out what works. But don't be comparing your husband to somebody else. Don't be comparing, all right. Don't be comparing your wife to somebody else. Amen. All right, I'm through. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you tonight. Thank you for allowing us to teach from the subject consequences of looking through someone else's eyes. Sunday morning, we dealt with looking through someone else's eyes. Tonight, we was able, just for a few moments, go into a few scriptures on the consequences. And if you delay your coming on Sunday morning, we'll deal with the consequences even more. I pray tonight that if there's one under the sound of my voice that don't know you, they've been looking for love in all the wrong places. They tuned in tonight. Maybe someone shared it. Maybe they're a Facebook family, Facebook friend of ours. And they've been entangled with so many other people's issues. They've allowed so many other folks' problems to become theirs. The sight of others have become their sight. They've lost focus on what you call them to do. Just like Adam and Eve. Just like we all have been guilty of that one time or another. Losing focus on what you called us to do. And begin to pay more attention to others. And we lost our compassion. We lost our fervor. We lost our excitement for you. And instead of running to you, we ran from you. Instead of coming to you naked, we came to you clothed, hiding, covered, when we should have came as an empty fountain. So if you're here tonight and you're watching me and you're saying, Brother Omar, you talking to me. I need to get this thing right. I need a clear vision. I got to repent. I got to get this thing right. It's real simple. I never run out of words. Just ran out of a little time. Never run out of words. Just trying to practice being able to spirit feel, spirit control, being able to just close it to the next time. But if this is you tonight, and you said, Brother Omar, too, I'm so glad I tuned in. I lost the ultimate vision of my family. Somebody on the side of my voice, you lost your family. Not just the vision of your family. You lost your family. Because something else took over your eyes. That woman took over your eyes. That man took over your eyes. Your career, your church took over your eyes. And you forgot that if a man is going to be a bishop, if he's going to be a pastor, if he's going to rule in the house of God, he must first rule well his own home. You forgot that if a man does not provide for his own, he's worse, he's lower than an infidel. You forgot those scriptures. You had so much vision on building your church, building membership, where you forgot to build the most important church. That's the church in your home. I'm talking to you, man of God. I'm talking to you, woman of God. Ask the Lord tonight to take you back to the place where you first received him, where you first believed. Repeat this simple. Repeat this after me. Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I committed. This night, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And from this day forward, I'm asking God to give me a clear vision for my family, clear vision for my spouse, clear vision for my children, in the name of Jesus. And it is so, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 I'm through. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Listen, Sunday was our pastor. Listen, I'll bring these back out. Amen. Now, don't nobody go start buying glasses. You know, don't y'all start going to the Dollar Tree and doing your glasses like this now. Amen. My wife and already patented it. Amen. We already got pictures floating around. Amen. I made the telephone. I'm the first one that did it. All right. Listen, some of you may not have been here Sunday morning. Sunday morning was our pastoral Sunday. Amen. And you heard the word on tonight, and you want to be a blessing. Amen. You want to be a blessing, and you say, oh, Brother Omar, he was talking to me. I enjoyed his wife, his children, with the praise and worship, the music. Amen. We right here. We're serving God. We understand we serve God by serving his people. Amen. And God may have laid it on your heart tonight to sow a seed, to be a blessing to Bishop Omar Zachary and family ministries. Amen. We want to give you the information where you can do that on tonight. No matter how big or how small you think it is, we just want you to obey God. If God doesn't lay it on your heart, then don't you do nothing. But if God lays it on your heart to give, amen. This has been your Thursday night service. You've enjoyed this message. It may even made you mad. It may have made you cry. It may even made you laugh a little bit. But when you heard it, you knew it was the truth. And you needed that for your life. You need to clear your vision. And that word that was preached, that was teached on tonight, you know it was for you. I saw so many elders and pastors and first ladies and different ones on tonight. Amen. I want y'all to be encouraged. Get your vision clear. Clear your vision. If you want to be a blessing to this ministry on tonight, you can do so. We have two ways. You can do a Cash App. Amen. The Cash App information is $OZ, and the number is 264. Once again, $OZ. That's Omar Zachary. So $OZ. The numbers 264. We pray that you will obey God on tonight and be generous. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Those of you that may want to give, but you would like to use your debit or credit card, PayPal, you would like to give. We're going to give you the numbers to our church financial offices. You can call them right now. We have teams standing by waiting to hear from you. You can reach them at 678-760-6056. Once again, if you would like to make a love gift, you would like to give a love gift on tonight using your debit or credit card or PayPal or Zelle, any of those other ways, call this number, 678-760-6056. And may the Lord bless you real good. Once again, Cash App, $OZ, the number is 264. Amen. We want to call out our prayer list. Amen. Call out our prayer list, and then we'll be through. We'll be through. Amen. Y'all continue to, I want to ask, as we call the prayer list, especially to our faithful members that tuning in on Thursday nights and Sunday mornings, that be a part of our Monday night D&K Bible break, Tuesday night Bible study over Chaos Blog Talk Radio. I want you to write these names down. So when you're doing your family prayer or when you're interceding, call these names out. Call these names out. Amen. So our prayer list, Brother Dermaine Brown, that's my cousin. Amen. Had heart surgery about a week or two ago. Man, we thank God that he's at home, but we want you to continue to pray for him. That's Brother Dermaine Brown, affectionately known as Lil Lil. Brother Dermaine Brown. Also, Sister Siobhan, amen. She lost her, I believe it was her 3-year-old daughter a couple of weeks or so ago. This family is located in Chicago. Amen. We want to pray for Sister Siobhan. We're asking God to strengthen that family. The Bluette family, man, Sister Asha, we thank God for what he's doing in her life. But we want to continue to pray for Sister Asha Bluette and the Bluette family.
in the name of Jesus. The Harris family, in the death of Mother Rachel Harris. Lady, I've been knowing all my life, amen, my Linwood Park community. Mother Harris passed about a week or two ago. Just pray for the Harris family. Once again, my own family, the Walker family. Want to pray for my auntie, Sister Georgette Walker. Also for Sister Jones, amen, in the death of my cousin, Brother Dante Walker, a couple of weeks ago. So let's keep the Walker family lifted up in prayer. The Tate family, also another family member of mine, my nephew, Brother Adore. Let's keep him lifted up. Let's keep his mother and father lifted up, his siblings, in the name of Jesus. The Stokes family, Elder Leroy Stokes, amen, and Evangelist Stokes. Let's remember the Stokes family. We're asking God to continue to touch his body, give him strength. In the name of Jesus. Brother Wendell Martin, I saw him in service tonight. We want to keep him lifted up in prayer. And also his mother, Sister Melanie Martin. I don't know if she was on tonight. Normally she is. She is on. Okay. Let's keep Sister Martin. Brother Wendell and his mother, Sister Melanie Martin. Longtime family friends, members of our church. Another cousin of mine, we just got word the other day, Brother Marquise Chapman. Brother Marquise Chapman. Amen. I think he's in quarantine now. Amen. So we want to keep him lifted in prayer, Brother Marquise Chapman. And last but not least, a friend of our family, a friend of our community, Brother John Johnson. Amen. Dear friends of ours, a young man is in the hospital. We're praying for the Johnson family, his mother, his father, his siblings. We're asking God to touch his body. God, as we call these names out before you on tonight, and there are many others that may be under the sound of my voice that are listening through chaos, that was tuned in through YouTube, that are watching by Facebook, even those that are tuned in over in London, England. There's a lot of things going on in our world now. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of turmoil. But God, even throughout what's going on in this world, we trust you. Knowing that you know what's best, knowing that your will shall be done. I pray for every pastor that we saw on tonight, Pastor Thomas, praying for her church, her children, God, that you would strengthen them. Every elder, every evangelist, every other pastor that may have been on tonight, God, we ask that you would touch their bodies, give them strength, especially now in these last and evil days. Help us to continue to preach the unadulterated word of God with the understanding that heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word shall stand. God, we lift these names up before you. We know that you was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes we are healed. We're looking for testimony. We're looking for testimonies. In the next few days, we're looking to hear testimonies on how sick bodies have been healed, how families have been reconnected, how that vision that was lost has been captured again in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you and we praise you. Before we close tonight, remember Sunday morning, at 11 o'clock, we'll be back Sunday morning. Amen. You don't want to miss Sunday morning. This will be round three Sunday morning. Amen. Sunday morning, we're going to be live back in our building. And Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, we're going to be live back in our building. We're going to still be social distancing and with the mask on, but we're going to be back in our building with our praise team and musicians, our media team, amen, our nurses, amen, for the next three Sundays. And then we're going to start our scheduling for the saints to come back in. Amen. Our nursing team has authorized about 30 people per service, about 30 people for the sanctuary part that we can safely get in with the mask on and social distancing. So we're asking everyone to be mindful, and those that don't want to come back in, amen, if you got any ailments or anything going on, stay at home and keep watching it the way you are. Okay? Stay at home, but we're going to be working on a schedule, amen, so we can be fair to all those that would like to come back. Amen. All right, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you till we meet again Sunday morning.